you have your Bibles this morning, let's turn to the Old Testament book of 2 Chronicles. 2 Chronicles chapter 18. and we're going to read the first 13 verses this morning. The message title this morning is, If You Follow God's Word. If you follow God's Word in 2 Chronicles 18, and we'll begin at verse 1 and we'll read together. In verse 1, the Word of God says, Now Jehoshaphat had riches and honor in abundance, and joined affinity with Ahab. And after certain years, he went down to Ahab to Samaria, and Ahab killed sheep and oxen for him in abundance, and for the people that he had with him, and persuaded him to go up with him to Ramoth-Gilead. And Ahab, king of Israel, said unto Jehoshaphat, king of Judah, Will thou go with me to Ramoth-Gilead? And he answered him, I am as thou art, and my people as thy people, and we will be with thee in the war. And Jehoshaphat said unto the king of Israel, Inquire, I pray thee, at the word of the Lord today. Therefore the king of Israel gathered together of prophets 400 men, and said unto them, Shall we go to Ramoth-Gilead to battle, or shall I forbear? And they said, Go up, for God will deliver it into the king's hand. But Jehoshaphat said, Is there not here a prophet of the Lord besides, that we might inquire of him? And the king of Israel said unto Jehoshaphat, There is yet one man, by whom we may inquire of the Lord, but I hate him. For he never prophesied good unto me, but always evil. The same is Micaiah, the son of Imlah. And Jehoshaphat said, Let not the king say so. And the king of Israel called for one of his officers and said, Fetch quickly Micaiah, the son of Imlah. And the king of Israel and Jehoshaphat, king of Judah, sat either of them on his throne, clothed in their robes, and they sat in a void place at the entering in of the gate of Samaria, and all the prophets prophesied before them. And Zedekiah, the son of Chenaanah, had made him horns of iron, and said, Thus saith the Lord, With these thou shalt push Syria until they be consumed. All the prophets prophesied, saying, Go up to Ramoth-Gilead and prosper, for the Lord shall deliver it into the hand of the king. And the messenger that went to call Micaiah spake unto him, saying, Behold, the word of the prophets declare good to the king with one assent. Let thy word, therefore, I pray thee, be like one of theirs, and speak thou good. And Micaiah said, As the Lord liveth, even what my God saith, that will I speak. Bryce Butler, lead us in word of prayer. Amen. Okay, let's start off with a little background what's going on here in this text. At this point in history, Israel is divided into two kingdoms. The northern kingdom of Israel, which at this time had Ahab as their king, and the southern kingdom of Judah, which had Jehoshaphat as their king. Now, these two kings, as I read this, had made an alliance with each other. And because of the alliance, one day Jehoshaphat went down to Samaria. He wanted to see Ahab face to face. And during the visit, Ahab asked Jehoshaphat if he would be willing to go to war with him against the Syrians at Ramoth-Gilead. Jehoshaphat told Ahab that they would go, but it kind of seems to me as Jehoshaphat had a little bit of wisdom, probably a lot of wisdom when compared to Ahab. And so he asked Ahab, he said, Could we get a prophet or two here, and could we inquire of God about this endeavor before we go do it? And you know what? I think that's real wise, friends, and I think no matter what it is you do in this life, no matter what the endeavor might be, I really believe you ought to inquire of the Lord before you do it.
Amen.
Okay, and I really believe you ought to have the good sense and the faith to wait on the Lord for an answer. Okay, because just because you inquire of him doesn't mean he's going to immediately tell you what his will is. Oh yeah, and when God shows you what his will is in the situation, you also ought to have enough faith and maturity and wisdom to yield yourself to God's will and do what he tells you to do rather than just going off and doing what you want to do. So anyway, Jehoshaphat says we need to inquire of the Lord, and Ahab, the Bible says, gathered together 400 prophets and asked them whether or not they should go to Ramoth-Gilead and go to battle. Well, the prophets all agreed, and they said, oh, yes, yes, the Lord is definitely with you, and you should go up at once. But like I said, I think Jehoshaphat had a little bit of wisdom, and you know what I think? I think he very quickly realized these 400 prophets, they were just what we call today yes men. Okay, that's what they were. They were yes men. They didn't really know what God had said. They didn't really care. They just wanted to keep Ahab happy, okay? And he was a ruthless individual, and I understand why they probably wanted to keep him happy, but all they were yes men. And I think Jehoshaphat, I think he realized this. And so he asked Ahab, well, is there anybody else? Is there anybody else we can talk to? Because I don't really think he trusted what the 400 prophets were saying. And Ahab says, yeah, there's one more guy, and I love what he says about him. He says, but I hate him. Why did he hate him? Because he wouldn't tell him what he wanted to hear. Amen. He told him the truth. And his name was Micaiah. And so Ahab doesn't want to do it, but he goes against his best judgment. He sends his servant to go fetch Micaiah to bring him so that they can inquire of him. And it seems, and I'm going to say this, and it is from this encounter between Micaiah and Ahab that I think we learn some very valuable lessons today, especially if we determine in our hearts that we're going to follow God and his word. I'm going to tell you something. I'd love to give you a different message this morning. I would love to tell you, oh, you just obey God and do what God says and your life's going to be easy. I'd love to tell you, you just obey God and do what God says and everything's going to go your way and you're never going to have any problems and everything's always going to be good. But I can't tell you that because I'm kind of like Micaiah. I'm not going to tell you what you want to hear. I'm going to tell you the truth, okay? And the truth is, being a follower of Jesus Christ, I believe, is the most difficult thing any man or any woman can endeavor to do in this life. And I'm telling you, you set your heart to follow God's word, you better prepare yourself. And so we learn some lessons here about the person, the man or the woman that would choose to follow the word of God. So what lessons do we learn from Micaiah concerning those who will follow God's word? Well, the first thing I want to bring out to you is this, and that is the first thing we learn from this situation is the truth. If we choose to follow God and his word, guess what? We will never be in the majority. If you choose to follow God's word, you will never be in the majority. Look at verse 5 again. It says, therefore the king of Israel gathered together of prophets 400 men. There were 400 of these so-called prophets who told Ahab, yeah, you ought to go to Ramoth-Gilead. That's a great idea. They told him, they said, God will definitely deliver them into your hands. God will give you victory. But you know what? Micaiah, he was not a yes man. He wasn't worried about telling Ahab what he wanted to hear. He was going to tell Ahab the truth. And indeed, he spoke the truth in verse 19. When he told Ahab, he said, listen, old boy, you go up there, guess what's going to happen? You're going to die. Now, the other 400 are saying, oh, go at once. God will give you a great victory. And Micaiah says, hey, you go up there, you're going to die. And listen to what he said about the so-called 400 prophets in verse 22. This is what he tells the king. He says in verse 22, he says, now, therefore, behold, the Lord hath put a lying spirit in the mouth of these thy prophets. You hear what he called them? Thy prophets. Not God's prophets, not his prophets, your prophets. God's put a lying spirit in their mouth. And the Lord has spoken evil against thee. Friends, I'm going to tell you something. Our world today hasn't changed one bit from all the way back then. You know that? I mean, people, I think, have always been people from the very beginning, and nothing has changed. Okay?
It is so crazy to me today. People would rather, I'm telling you, they would rather follow a lie than they would to follow the truth. I don't understand it. And I mean, the longer I live, the crazier it gets. Because it seems like the more insane something is, the more people will flock to it and follow. And I don't get it. And the people then, they were just like the people now. They would rather follow a lie than they would to follow the truth. Friends, our nation today, our world today, even sadly the church today, has largely forgotten the Word of God and gone off to follow every little lie that Satan has to offer. And sadly, even in many churches today, it no longer matters what the Word of God says. They just do what they want. Okay, let's just be honest. There's a lot of churches, they just do them what they want. But here's the craziest thing about this story to me. Even after Micaiah warned Ahab and told him, if you go up there, you're going to die, guess what? He still went. He still went. Why? Because that's what he wanted to do. I tell people all the time. I tell them the truth. If you die without a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, at death, you are going to perish in hell. And you're going to be there for all time and eternity, and there will be no escape. And you know, I keep hearing something, and I hear this especially, it seems like, from younger people than older people, but I keep hearing this. Oh, there's too much I'd have to give up to be a follower of Jesus. You know what they're really saying? I don't want to do that. I'd rather do what I want to do. That's what they're really saying. And so, even though he's warned, he goes. And I'm telling you today, people do not want to yield themselves to God. They do not want to yield themselves to God's word. But instead, they, just like Ahab, want to do whatever it is they want to do. Well, friends, look at all the crazy things that are going on in our world today. Now, this one, I'm going to give you this first one. I had about 100 things I wrote down. I thought, well, I can't stand up here and talk about all 100. We'd be here all day. So I just tried to limit it down a little bit. But you know, there's a debate raging in America today. And I mean, you know, look what's going on in Florida. Ron DeSantis down there has made it illegal to do it. And boy, he's took a lot of heat for it. But we're wanting to talk to grade school age children in the public schools today about having gender reassignment surgery. Really? Do you think a second grade kid who's 8 years old needs to think about that? You know what I think? I think an 8 year old needs just be a stinking 8 year old. Let them be a kid. Let them grow up. Let them, when they get older, let them begin to worry about these adult themed things. Okay? But yeah, we've got this debate raging in America today as to whether or not we ought to teach this gender assignment things to children that are 7, 8 years old. I'm going to tell you something. I'm 55 years old. I went to grade school in the 70s. If I would have gone up to one of my teachers in grade school in the 1970s and said, hey, teach, I no longer want to be a boy, but I've decided I want to be a girl. Let me tell you something. My teacher would have thought I was out of my mind. And you know what? I would have been. And as soon as I said that to my teacher, I promise you, I know what would have happened. My teacher would have made 2 phone calls. Number 1, to my parents. Number 2, to the school psychologist. Saying, we got a problem. This Wiley kid's lost it, okay? He doesn't want to be a boy anymore. I mean, yeah, that's what they would have done. But today, their school systems now, they won't even inform the parents if a child comes to a teacher wanting to have gender reassignment surgery. I used to think it was bad when they were passing out birth control to children in the school. And now, this is what's going on in the school, and it boggles my mind. And you know what? And sadly, there's a lot of places in this country today where this kind of thing isn't just tolerated by the kids in the school, it's encouraged. It's encouraged. Think about this. We have an open border today. We do. To the place, we have no idea who's coming into this country or why they're coming. I want to know why, in the last year, our Border Patrol encountered over 30,000 military-aged Chinese men coming into the United States across our borders. How many did they not encounter? Why are they here? Why are they coming? What is their intention? I really, I would like to know that.
But you know what? If you say anything, guess what? They pop up and say, oh, well, you're a racist. You don't like the Chinese. You don't like the Hispanics. You're a racist. No, I've got some sanity. I'd like to know who's coming into the country and why. Now we got men pretending to be women, competing in college sports, women's college sports, nonetheless. And then you get somebody like Riley Gaines who's got the boldness to stand up and call it out and say, hey, when the meet's over, I don't want a guy in the locker room with me watching me change. I've got two daughters. Let me tell you something. If some boy, 17, 18 years old, tried to walk in the locker room on one of my girls back in the day, I'd have grabbed him by his hair and jerked him out. You ain't going in there, boy. But yet now it's permitted. And now Riley Gaines is the problem, according to the liberal media. And then we got churches today that are ordaining openly gay individuals. People, men that are married to other men, women that are married to other women. And they're ordained and allowed to serve as the pastor of the church. Friends, am I alone in this, or does it seem like the whole daggone world's lost its mind? I mean, really, it is absolute insanity what is going on in our world today. And today, anything in this country goes, oh yeah, as long as it's not good, as long as it's not moral, oh yeah, and especially as long as it's not godly. But if it's anything else, honey, anything goes in America. And indeed, we are living in that day, friends, that the Bible talked about where evil is called good and good is called evil. So just know, friends, if you choose today to follow the Word of God, you are never going to be in the majority. You will always be in the minority. This was the case in Micaiah's day, and it remains the same in our day as well. But this wasn't the only problem, because next we see that if we choose to follow the Word of God, then guess what else is going to happen? Not only are you going to be in the minority, you are also going to face pressure from the world to conform with the world. Look at verse 12. It says, and the messenger that went to call Micaiah spake to him, saying, behold, the words of the prophet declare good to the king with one assent. In other words, they're all in agreement. He says, let thy word also, I pray thee, be like one of theirs, and speak thou good. Don't speak truth, speak what we want to hear. He's pressuring him right here. Right here, the messenger comes to the prophet and tells him, Ahab wants to see you. But rather than saying, listen, Ahab wants to know what God has to say on the subject, the messenger comes and says, you need to go along with what the other prophets have told the king. You ever been there? Anybody ever said you need to go along? Yeah, we've all probably been there, haven't we? He tells him, the other prophets have prophesied good to evil. You need to come and do the same. He's being pressured to conform. What does the Word of God say about this? I'll tell you what the Word of God says about it. Romans 12, 2. The Word of God says very plainly that we, God's people, are not to be conformed to the world, but that we are to be transformed into something completely different from the world by the power of God. What else does the Bible say? I'll tell you something else the Bible says in case you think about going along with what the world says. In James chapter 4, verse 4, think about this. The Bible says, God's word says, whosoever will be the friend of the world is the enemy of God. Amen. Yeah, think about that next time you get pressured to conform. Friends, I'm telling you, you choose to follow the Word of God instead of conforming to the things of the world, you're going to be going against the grain of society. And I'm telling you, the world is not going to like it one bit. And we face pressure every day to conform, don't we? Let me give you some examples. Advertisers. Aren't they every day when you watch TV and then it goes to the commercials, aren't the advertisers trying to pressure you to conform with the world? This is how you need to be. This is what you need to own. This is how you need to act. This is how you need to look. That's what the advertisers are doing. They're pressuring us to conform. They tell us we're nobody unless we own a certain product or use certain products. Let me ask you this. How many employers today are pressuring their employees to conform to the world through things like this diversity, equity, and inclusion initiative? Just let me throw something in here. Do you realize that door that popped off that 737 a couple weeks ago? Do you realize that door is not made by Boeing?
Did you know that? I do. Let me tell you, do you know who made that door? A company called Spirit Industries. Let me tell you about Spirit Industries. I've done a little research. They are a huge DEI employer, diversity, equity, and inclusion. You know what that means? It means they're more interested in checking off boxes when they hire somebody. Boxes like race, gender, sexual preference. They're more interested in checking those boxes when they hire somebody than they are hiring somebody that's actually qualified to do the job. No wonder the door fell off. Okay? I mean, if this is how we're going to do things, why are we surprised? Yeah. Our government is trying to pressure people today. You need an electric car. I got news for you, Jeff Smith. I'll get a horse first. I will. You'll see Todd trotting from Fleming County to Montgomery County on Sunday mornings on a horse and buggy. I'll look Amish. You call me whatever you want to call me. But I ain't buying an electric car. I saw this guy on the news the other day. He bought one. He tried to go on vacation. He almost ran out of charge. He couldn't find a charging station. He finally found one. It was cold up north where he was. And so the battery, you know, batteries don't work well in cold weather. Did you know that? Isn't that amazing? Man, I'm no engineer, but I knew that. And then he got somewhere over northern Illinois, I believe it was. And you know what he had to do? Now, how happy would you be if you just bought a brand new electric vehicle? And it ran out of charge, and you couldn't find a charge. He got so frustrated. You know what he did? He had his car towed back to Massachusetts, and he rented a gas-operated car to finish his vacation. You know what he should have done? He should have just bought a gas-powered car to begin with. But now it's gotten off the rails. You know, I hear now that it's not bad enough they want me driving an electric car, but now they tell me I can't have a gas stove. I can't have a gas water heater. It's bad for the environment. I saw something this morning. There's some group encouraging guys, listen, you might like this, encouraging us not to buy our wives flowers for Valentine's Day. You know why? Because most of those flowers come from Colombia, and they have to be shipped up here in an airplane, and it has a huge carbon footprint, and that's bad. And then those flowers have to be delivered in a car, and that's bad too, and you don't want to do that. And then there was problems they had not only with that, but they had problems with cards. Don't get your wife a Valentine's card because it's going to just end up in the landfill. Oh, don't buy chocolates. You know, there was some problem they had with that. But I'm listening to this. I'm like, how insane are we that they don't even want me to get my wife anything for Valentine's Day, okay, because it's going to hurt the planet. And I love people like John Kerry. You know, he flies around on a private jet, and then he tells me I need a bicycle. Okay, he, you know, this guy's eating filet mignon every night. Now all of a sudden, man, they're trying to tell me I need to quit eating meat because it's bad for the environment, and I need to eat insects. Let me just say something real quick, okay? I'm saying this as the pastor of the church. Hell will freeze over before Todd starts eating insects. Todd likes his beef, okay? That's why he raises beef, because he likes a steak, okay? And I'm not eating bugs. I don't care if they are edible. It ain't happening. But, I mean, but you see the pressure they're putting on us to conform? You need to go on. Why? Because if you don't, we're all going to die. Well, we're all going to die anyway. So I'm gonna go enjoying a filet mignon, okay? I'm not going to go eating crickets, but anyway. But friends, and then what about just a few years ago? Our own state government said that all these entities that frankly are wicked, I'll just say it, they're wicked. Abortion clinics, strip clubs, liquor stores, all those are essential. But the church isn't. I remember the initial lie. We just need to flatten the curve, need to do this for 2 weeks. That was the initial lie, Bashir told. Well, then 2 weeks turned into 2 months, and 2 months turned into 6 months, and, you know, 6 months, of just every day, it just kept getting longer and longer and longer. No, you can't go to church. Got to conform. Got to go with the majority. Well, friends, I'm here to tell you, if you choose to follow the Word of God, you're going to be pressured by the world to conform with the world. You see, those who follow God's Word will never be in the majority. They will face pressure to conform with the world, and this brings me to my third point, and that is, if you seek to follow God's word, you're going to face persecution. Amen. It's going to happen, okay? Look at verse 23. It says, then Zedekiah,
the son of Chenaanah, came near and smote Micaiah upon the cheek and said, "Which way went the Spirit of the Lord from me to speak unto thee?" Right after telling Ahab, "Listen, you're going to die if you go up there," and after calling the other 400 prophets liars, which they were, Micaiah was persecuted. Zedekiah, who was one of those false prophets, one of those 400 false prophets, guess what he did? I'll just put this plainly. He curled up his fist and he hit Micaiah in the face. He punched him. Now, I don't know what you call that, but I call that persecution. And why was he hit? For one reason. He was standing to his keeping to his guns. He was going to stand for the word of God, and he wasn't going to back down. Now, I'm going to tell you something. Ahab obviously had run-ins with this guy. Why? Because when Jehoshaphat is standing there, anybody else, yeah, there were more, but I hate him. This wasn't his first dealing with Micaiah. And obviously, Zedekiah obviously was familiar with him as well. And let me just tell you something, because this is, I think the church in America needs to pay attention. Persecution, this is what I have found, it usually starts off small and mild, and then it increases with intensity. Now, if you think I'm wrong, what about the early church in the book of Acts? You remember how the persecution started off there? It was verbal. It was threats. Guess what happened when the threats didn't work? Well, after the threats didn't work, it progressed to physical beating. After the beatings didn't work, it progressed to imprisonment. And finally, it progressed to where Stephen was put to death for no other reason than he was a faithful follower of Jesus Christ. And I'm going to tell you something. Today I am seeing what I would call, listen to me, a very mild persecution of the church here in America. But I promise you, this persecution we're seeing today, this mild persecution, is only going to increase in intensity as we go along. Amen. So my advice to you is prepare yourselves, but just let me give you a little something in case you face some persecution for the Lord Jesus. Something Jesus said himself in Matthew 5:11 when he said this. He said, "Blessed are you when men shall revile you and persecute you and say all manner of evil against you falsely for my name's sake." Amen. Hey, praise God. You know what Jesus is saying? If you're faithful to me and you're persecuted for me, you're blessed. Amen. Praise God. Okay? So when I get persecuted, and I ain't really ever faced anything like Christians are facing in other parts of the world, but when I get persecuted, I think about what Jesus said there, and I say, praise God, because I'm blessed. And those who choose to follow the Word of God, they're never going to be in the majority. They're going to face pressure to conform with the world. If they refuse to conform with the world, persecution is sure to come. And this brings me to the next point and the next problem. That is, if you choose to follow the Word of God and you stay faithful to it, you can be sure you're going to suffer for it in some way, shape, or form. Amen. It's going to happen. You're going to suffer for it. Look at verses 25 and 26. It says, "Then the king of Israel said, Take ye Micaiah and carry him back to Ammon, the governor of the city, and to Joash, the king's son, and say, Thus saith the king, Put this fellow in the prison and feed him with the bread of affliction and with the water of affliction until I return in peace." Let me tell you something. Zedekiah punching him in the face was now the least of his problems. Because when Micaiah refused to compromise, guess what happened? He was put into prison and given, the Bible says, the bread of affliction and the water of affliction. Do you know what that is? Do you know what the bread of affliction is and water of affliction is? I'm going to tell you what it is. It means he was given very little to eat and very little to drink. As a matter of fact, it was just barely enough to keep you. Have you ever been really hungry? I praise God. I never have been. I've been hungry, but I haven't been like a week without food and just, you know, starving to death. I've not been there. We're blessed. I mean, you know, look at all the food we had last night at the dinner. We're blessed. Hey, I've never been real hungry, but I'm telling you this, I've been real thirsty. I've been out one time, didn't have no water, and it was hot, and I got real thirsty, and I mean, it was bad. I thought I was going to get dehydrated that day. I can remember that. But, you know, you don't have water for, what, I think about 3 days, you can die. You can get dehydrated and die real quick without anything to drink. And so the bread of affliction, the water of affliction, they were just barely giving him enough to survive. Not to satisfy him, but to just keep him alive. And then I want you to look at the arrogance of Ahab at the end of verse 26. Not only does he know what God has said, not only has he been warned, but look, warned about what's going to happen if he goes, but look at his arrogant boast when he says he's going to go to Ramoth-Gilead in return. How arrogant. What an arrogant fool. I don't care what God said. I'm going to do what I want to do, and I promise you it's going to be all right. I promise you, no, it won't be, okay? And just a reminder, I hate to break this to you, but I don't know if you've been paying attention, but our government today is filled with people, I believe, that are just like Ahab. And someday, and I believe very soon, the people of God who choose to be faithful to God in this country are going to begin to suffer in ways that we never thought possible. It's coming, friends, you mark my words. But when it does move past persecution and you are forced to really suffer for your faithfulness, I want you to remember another thing the Word of God says in 2 Timothy 2, verse 12. It says this. It says, if we suffer with him, we shall also reign with him. Amen. Isn't that an awesome promise? You know, I was thinking about this out in the woods yesterday, out taking my walk. I was thinking about this. You know, the Bible says, eye has not seen, ear has not heard, neither has entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those that love him. I can't even conceptualize in my mind, in my wildest dreams, how great heaven's going to be, because I ain't got anything to compare it to. Amen. Can you wrap your brain around the fact you're going to not just be there to be a servant, but you're a child of God? And the Bible says, and in Romans, it says you're going to be a joint heir with Jesus. You know what being a joint heir means? It means in eternity, everything that's his is going to be yours. Amen. And it says if we suffer for him, we're going to reign with him. You know, I believe that, but I can't even hardly wrap my feeble little mind around that. But what an awesome promise. Yes, if I suffer here for a short little time, I will reign with him in eternity. What more motivation you need to suffer for him? I don't know. But he also says in 2 Timothy 2:12, he says this. He says, but if we deny him, he will deny us. Amen. So think about that when the persecution and suffering for your faith comes. If you turn and run away from him, what does he say? He says, you deny me, I'll deny you. What a promise. And that brings me to the next point, and that is, that despite it all, Micaiah chose to obey God and he chose to speak the truth. Here's the main verse in this whole chapter, verse 13. After being pressured by the world to conform, it says, and Micaiah said, as the Lord liveth, even what my God saith, that will I speak. That will I speak. Despite the fact he wasn't in the majority, despite the pressure to conform and go along with the other prophets, despite the persecution, despite the suffering, Micaiah refused to compromise. And he stayed faithful to the Lord. And I'm going to tell you something. Micaiah didn't make up what he told Ahab, but rather God told Micaiah, this is what you tell him. And when the Lord said, this is what I want you to tell him. Now, I have to believe Micaiah knew, well, if I go say this, this is the exact opposite of what the other 400 said, and I know Ahab, he ain't going to like this. He probably going to get pretty worked out and upset about this. But I don't see where Micaiah even reasoned that out. He's just like, I'm going to say whatever God says. I'm going to do whatever God tells me to do. I don't care whether he likes it or not. Friends, there's something the church needs to figure out today, because we're way too worried about offending people. We are way too worried about what the world thinks. We need to just say, hey, this is what God said. This is what God meant. This is what we're going to do. Amen. And if the world don't like it, that's too bad. We get to that place, I believe we'll see a powerful movement of God in America again. But he just said what God told him to say. He spoke the truth, and he told Ahab what God told him to tell him. And you know what? Despite everything that came his way, he didn't budge one little bit when it came to his faithfulness to God and his word. So let me ask you, what about you? You willing to go against the grain of society and be in the minority, or are you worried about everybody liking you? You worried about being accepted by the world? You worried about going along with the world? And by the way, just let me encourage you in your Bible study. In the Bible, you know that there's no place in the Bible where the majority was ever right. Just go look. Noah was in the minority, wasn't he? Who was right in the end, the majority or him?
Well, he was. Why? Because he followed the Lord. See, following the Lord, you're always going to be in the minority. That's just the case. And let me ask something. What are you going to do? You going to follow the Lord, or are you going to worry about everybody in the world liking you? What about when the world pressures you to conform and go along? Let me ask you this. What about when your employer pressures you to conform and go along? What about when your family pressures you to conform and go along? You going to stand strong for the Lord? You going to cave in? And when push comes to shove, and your faithfulness brings persecution, I want to know, are you going to stand strong for the Lord? Guess what? We'll see, because I believe it's coming. And what if things get worse in our nation? And I believe they will. And Christians actually begin to have to really suffer for their faithfulness. You going to stand for the Lord? Let me just say this. If the past is any indication of the future, I fear what the church is going to become if it really gets ugly. I really do. I fear what the church will become. Let me tell you something about Micaiah the prophet. Before this day ever came, here in 2 Chronicles 18, long before this happened, it wasn't like this messenger came and said, the king wants to see you. And he came and the king said, hey, I want to know. And it wasn't like, oh, well, I got to make up my mind. What am I going to do here? No. Let me tell you something. I believe this old boy had his mind made up long before this ever happened. I'm going to follow the Lord and his word no matter what. You know, it's easy to say that when everything's good, isn't it? It's a whole different story when you actually get faced with consequences for being faithful. Yeah. I think Micaiah had made up his mind long before this day that he was going to follow God and his word no matter what. And I'm telling you, church, today, you better make up your mind that you're going to be faithful also no matter what, because I believe the day is coming in America, and I believe it's coming soon, where it's not going to be real easy to be a follower of Christ. You mark my words. And this brings me to the final point, and that is that when all was said and done here in chapter 18, guess what happened? The word of God prevailed. Isn't that amazing? Are you shocked? I mean, that the word of God prevailed. Look at the last two verses, verse 33 and 34. God told Micaiah, go tell Ahab if he goes up there, he's going to die. And he went and he told him, and Ahab said, I don't care what God says, I'm going to do what I want. And he went anyway, and guess what happened? Verse 33 says, and a certain man drew a bow at a venture and smote the king of Israel between the joints of the harness. And therefore he said to his chariot man, turn thine hand that thou mayest carry me out of the host, for I am wounded. And verse 34 says, and the battle increased that day, howbeit the king of Israel stayed himself up in his chariot against the Syrians until the evening, and about the time of the sun going down, guess what? He died. Are you shocked? Do you think Micaiah was shocked? I don't. Guess what? I've been a follower of Christ long enough now. I've put his word to the test long enough now. I ain't shocked either. I knew he was going to die when he went. Micaiah knew he was going to die. The only one who didn't know was the arrogant fool that went. Friends, despite that Ahab was with the majority and Micaiah was with the minority, guess what? God's word prevailed. Despite the fact that Micaiah was pressured to conform with the world, guess what? God's word prevailed. Despite the persecution that he faced and the suffering that he endured, oh, yeah, in the end, the word of God prevailed. And someday, very soon, regardless of what the world may say or do, God's word will prevail. Yeah. I look at all, I hate to say it, I'm just going to call them what they're fools. I look at these people that think they're so powerful. In our own government, I look at Putin over in Russia. I look at Xi Jinping over in China. These guys think they run the world. I got news for you. This is still my father's world. And he is still on his throne. And he is still sovereign. And the things that are going on in this chaotic world today are only going on because he permits it. Or he's directing it. I've read the last book of the Bible, have you? It doesn't say everything's going to get better and better and better and then Jesus is going to come back. No, it says everything's going to get worse and worse and worse and worse until we usher in this time called the Great Tribulation, unlike the world has ever seen.
What did Jesus say when they said, well, what are they going to be the signs of your coming? What if one of the very first things he said in Matthew 24? You'll hear of wars and rumors of wars. And he said this, but see that you're not troubled. Why? These things must come to pass.
Amen.
You know, let me give you a sad truth about all of us. I'm not talking about the lost people. I'm talking about even us. Human beings are self-destructive.
Amen.
We're extremely self-destructive, and God knows it. Because we have this sinful inclination to do the wrong thing every time. And so God's just letting us roll down the path toward the end, and he knows what we're going to do to ourselves, and he knows how bad it's going to get, and he's going to let us do it.
Amen.
Did your parents ever do anything like that to you? Every once in a while, I give my kids enough rope to hang themselves. I was a devious parent. I really was. My favorite thing to do to one of them, they walk in the door. Now, you want to just go ahead and fess up and tell me what you've done? You want me to tell you what I know? Boy, they'd start spilling their guts, telling me everything they'd done wrong. I didn't know any of it, but I did after we were done. that was so much fun. I'm kind of sad my kids got old and moved out of my house. I've lost all that fun. But anyway, friends, I'm telling you, we better prepare. We better prepare. God's word's going to prevail. And when it does, I'm going to tell you something. You better be on the right side of things. God's word is going to prevail. No matter what you say, no matter what you do, no matter what the world does. I got news for you. These people that are in charge today are only in charge for one reason. Romans 13 tells us because God has permitted it.
Amen.
But when God's done, God will say, okay, I'm going to remind y'all something. I'm still in charge. I'm still here. This is still my world. I'm still sovereign. You know, I take so much peace in that. I don't get real worked up about much anything anymore. I see all stuff going on in the world just like you do. I ain't scared. You know why? Because my Father, who is in heaven, is still on his throne.
Amen.
And I am his child, and he loves me. And in the end, I'm going to be on the right side of things when it all comes down. I hope you will be too. And friends, I'm telling you, God's word will prevail. And when it does, you better be on the right side of things. Otherwise, you're going to have some serious problems. But I'm telling you, if you're more worried about conforming to the world and being in the majority than you are with being faithful to the Lord and his word, I'm going to promise you when that day comes, you will not be on the right side of things. If you're not willing to stand for God and his word in this life, even in the face of persecution and suffering, then again, when that day comes, when God's word prevails, you're going to be on the wrong side of things. So just let me warn you right now. Okay, it's kind of like Ahab and Micaiah. I'm going to tell you the truth. You do with it what you want. You can do whatever you want to do. That's fine. But I promise you, in the end, God's word will prevail. And I hope and pray when it does, you're on the right side of things. So let me ask you this before I close. In verse 34, Ahab died. Surprise, surprise. Now, I don't know when, but you know what? Micaiah, the prophet, he eventually died as well. But in the end, which one of them do you suppose fared better in eternity? Ahab or the man who refused to conform with the world? Ahab or the man who would not bow to the world's pressure and who stayed faithful despite the personal cost and suffering that came to him despite his faithfulness? Now let me just say this. I don't think you have to be a biblical scholar to figure this out. Now do you? And in the end, if you want to fare well, then you need to be willing to do a couple of things. Number one, you need to be willing to follow the Lord's word and obey it. Guess where that begins? Salvation. I'm going to tell you something. You ain't even on the right road, okay, unless you have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ.
Amen.
You don't have him, you ain't got nothing. And I'm just going to be blunt with you. I don't care how nice a person you think you are, how good you think you ain't good enough. Bible's real plain. Romans 3:20, there is none that doeth good, no, not one. And honey, that includes you, and that includes me. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That means you, and that means me. The wages of sin is death, and we are all going to die a physical death. And if we die in the state of being lost in our sins, then we're going to die what the Bible calls the second death, where we're going to be separated from God for all time and eternity in a literal place called hell. By the world, so all, there's no hell. Yeah, well, God says there is. I'm going to tell you, he's right. They're wrong.
And I'm going to tell you this. The Bible says we are not saved by our works. We are saved by the grace of God through faith. That's what it says. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourself. Not about what you've done for God. It's about what God done for you. What did God do for you? God sent his only son, Jesus Christ, to this earth to die on the cross as a punishment for not his sins, but for your sins. And he died, and they put him in the grave. And on the third day, he rose back to life. And he proved in that moment that he was who he said he was, that he could do what he said he could do. And what he said he could do was save anyone who would come to him in faith. And Romans 10:13 says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Don't tell me you're good because you ain't good enough. Amen. Don't tell me, well, I believe in God. James chapter 2 says the devils also believe and tremble. That ain't enough either. Don't tell me, well, I'm religious. Well, religion will take you straight to hell. You don't need a religion. You need a relationship. Amen. A relationship with Jesus Christ. And there's only one way to get it, and that is to pray and call on the Lord Jesus and say, Lord, I am a sinner. And I've sinned against you and only you. And I know I don't deserve to go to heaven, but I believe your word. I believe that Jesus died for me. I believe they killed him on the cross because of the things that I did wrong. I believe they buried him. I believe the third day he rose again. I believe he's alive right now, and I believe it so much. I'm asking him to come in my heart and life. I'm asking him to forgive me. I'm asking him to save me, and I'm asking him to be the master and Lord of my life at this day forward. Amen. Let me tell you, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Listen to me. If you've never called on the Lord for salvation, I'm going to be blunt with you, you're still lost in your sin and you're still headed for hell. Amen. You need a relationship with Christ. And the first step of obedience is to obey the gospel by coming and calling on Jesus. And if you've never done that, I want to encourage you in a couple minutes when we sing the final hymn, come up here and see me and say, Brother Todd, I want to know Jesus as my Savior. I'll pray with you. I'll introduce you to him this morning. But after we're saved, friends, it doesn't end, because even after that, if we want to fare well at the end, we need to be willing to stand for the Lord in his word, even if, you hear me? Even if we have to do it alone. And I'm going to promise you something. You really make your mind up, you're going to stand for God in his word. There's going to be some times you're going to have to do it alone. You need to be strong enough, friends, to resist the pressure that the world will put on you, and you need to refuse to conform to the world and stay faithful to God. You need to be willing to stand for the Lord and his word, even if doing so comes with a price, because I'm telling you, if you're not willing to do these things, and I promise you, in the end, you, like Ahab, will not fare very well. I'm going to fare real well. You know why? Because I'm a child of God. I'm a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. I love him and he loves me, and honey, he's got me in the palm of his hand. No matter what goes on in my life down here, it'll all be over soon. Amen. And then I get to go be with Jesus. Hey, isn't that an awesome thing? I don't know what you're going to do, but I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to do my very best to be faithful to God and his word. And I pray you'll do no less. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for people like the prophet Micaiah, who was willing to stand for you, Lord, even in the face of just unbelievable pressure. I can only imagine, Lord, what it was like to stand before a man like Ahab, to have his prophets who was telling lies standing there also, to be hit in the face, to be put into prison, to endure what he endured, but Lord, yet he was willing to stand for you and your word no matter what. God, I pray you would help us all to be people like that. And I pray, Lord, that right now we would make up our minds, that we would resolve ourselves right here today in this service, that we're going to be faithful to you and faithful to your word no matter what may happen. Because, Lord, in the end, we know your word will prevail. And, Lord, that's all that's going to matter, Lord, that we're on the right side of things when it does. And the only way to be on the right side of things when your word ultimately prevails in this world is A, to know Jesus as our Savior, and B, to be faithful to him as the Lord of our lives. God, help us all. And Father, as you're speaking to people's hearts right now, if there's someone today who needs to come, who needs to call on Jesus for that great salvation, I pray, God, you give them the courage to step out of the pew, to come up here, to see me, Lord. I'd like to answer their questions. Pray with them. And God, for those of us who are your people, Lord, help us to really examine ourselves, to make sure, Lord, that we are prepared to stand for you, regardless of the price. Because, Lord, I believe the day is coming when it's going to be very difficult for people to stand up and proclaim that they are followers of Jesus Christ. God, help us now to resolve ourselves that when that day comes, we're going to follow you. God, we love you. We thank you. I pray now you have your way in this invitation time. Lord, as you're speaking to hearts, I pray we would respond and allow you to have your way in our hearts and lives. And we ask all this in Jesus' name.